The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, well, we made it to the end of the year. Yes, today is our final show for 2017, and all I could say is good riddance. I don't think I've ever been as happy to see a year end as this one. I will be taking next week off just to unplug, de-stress, try to remove my brain from this ever-present cacophony of bad news that has been with us for the last year and a few months. And I hope you're able to do the same. I'll have some best of shows running next week. So far, I've only gotten one request for a best of show, and it's the one with Roger Stone. Do you really want me to play that? I'm not sure. Let me know. You can tweet to me at Nicole Sandler. You can email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. It's pretty easy to find me. And let me know. I'll put up a different show to air on the Progressive Voices Network each night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern for next week, Tuesday through Friday. And then I'll be back the following Tuesday on January 2nd to start all over again. You know, what I was going to do today is a little bit of a review of last year. And I started going through the sound clips of the year. And remember, even though it was such an awful day on Inauguration Day, the next day was encouraging, wasn't it?
Hundreds of solidarity marches happening across the country.
I'm Katie Beck in Los Angeles, and while event organizers predicted a large crowd, they never could have predicted this. Hundreds of thousands of people flooding the streets from every direction.
Tammy Leitner in Naples, Florida, where thousands have turned out to march.
I'm Morgan Radford in New York, where you can hear chants of "My Body, My Choice." Thousands are filling the streets in protest. Men, children, and generations of women who feel that under a Trump presidency, their rights are being threatened.
Tens of thousands more marching in Chicago, Boston, and Seattle. And overseas in England, Italy, Germany, and Paris. Crowds of mostly women, all protesting President Trump.
2, 4, 6, 8.
Spread love, not hate.
Even though the circumstances are unfortunate, like, the fact that it's brought all these people together to fight for justice is beautiful.
They descended on the Capitol and cities around the world by the hundreds of thousands. Far more people marching for women's rights on President Trump's first full day in office than attended his inauguration.
So it felt a little hopeful, you know, as bad as we knew it was going to be. I don't think we had any clue it would be this bad. The fact that millions of women around the world and our male counterparts, for the most part, joined in and marched in protest. And I thought, you know, this is going to be the year of the uprising. And although we tried, they scored a big victory yesterday, a victory against we the people. You know, I went through and pulled some clips, some memorable moments, like who can forget this one?
You did not answer the question of why the president asked the White House press secretary to come out in front of the podium for the first time and utter a falsehood. Why did he do that? It undermines the credibility of the entire White House press office
on
day one.
Don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck. What you're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave
alternative facts to that. But the point remains.
Wait a minute. Alternative facts? Alternative facts, four of the five facts he uttered. The one thing he got right was Zeke Miller. Four of the five facts he uttered were just not true. Look, alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods.
No, they're lies. And that's the one thing that Chuck Todd wouldn't have said there or didn't say there. Alternative facts don't exist. They're lies. And that was just, you know, what, 2 days into this administration. We had Trump, you know, citing Frederick Douglass in February.
We're proud now that we have a museum, the National Mall, where people can learn about Reverend King, so many other things. Frederick Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is being recognized more and more, I notice.
Yeah, because that Frederick Douglass, he's doing such a great job. Who can forget the infamous Bowling Green Massacre?
These are nations very narrowly prescribed and also temporary.
Sure.
I bet there was very little coverage. I bet it's brand new information to people that President Obama had a 6-month ban on the Iraqi refugee program after two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized, and they were the masterminds behind the Bowling Green Massacre. Most people don't know that because it didn't get covered.
It didn't get covered because there was no such thing as the Bowling Green Massacre. You had Scott Pelley, the anchor then of the CBS Evening News, say this.
President Trump told a U.S. military audience that there have been terrorist attacks that no one knows about because the media choose not to report them. It has been a busy day for presidential statements divorced from reality.
A busy day for presidential statements divorced of reality. That's what this administration is mostly known for now, just about a year into it. Just lies, and it continues to this day. Everything this man says and the people who are charged to speak for him, like Sarah Sanders, everything they say are filled with lies. So I started going through this stuff. I found, of course, there was Kellyanne Conway hawking Ivanka's wares on national television, right? But the biggest one to come out of it was Donald Trump deciding that fake news was the term of the year.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
Yeah, Fox is the enemy of the people. Fox has been fake news since the beginning of time. For years and years and years, Donald Trump insists that he made up the term fake news. But we've been talking about fake news for a long time now.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
You know, this is the gaslighting of America. This is what this administration is best at doing, is telling us the sky is green when we know it's blue. But he has millions of people believing that the sky is green because he's telling you it's green, even though we know it's blue, even though those people who are believing him when he says it's green, deep down know that it's blue. He makes us feel like we're the crazy ones. And by this turnaround, telling us that what's the actual real news media, what they're doing is fake, and what the fake news media, Fox and Breitbart and Sinclair, and what those all are doing, that is somehow, the real honest news. It's just backwards. So today, Donald Trump is now in Florida. Can't you tell? This pall just came over the state when he landed on Air Force One. But before he left, he had a little mini signing ceremony in the Oval Office.
I watched the news this morning, and they were all saying, "Will he keep his promise? Will he sign it by Christmas?" You are one. So I'll sign this today rather than having a very big formal ceremony in 2 weeks when we were going to do it, because I didn't want you folks to say that I wasn't keeping my promise. I am keeping my promise. I'm signing it before Christmas.
Oh.
I said that the bill would be on my desk before Christmas, and you are holding me literally to that. So we did a rush job today. It's not fancy, but it's the Oval Office. It's the great Oval Office.
Okay, so he signed the tax scam bill into law this morning. Now, I had read the reason that he wasn't going to, they were going to hold it off until the beginning of January, was because it triggers $25 million in Medicare cuts, and they wanted to hold that off until next year. By signing it today, I'm not sure because I haven't been able to find anything on it this morning or this afternoon. I'm wondering if that automatically triggers the $25 million cuts in Medicare for 2017. It's something I'm going to have to keep looking into, or maybe somebody in the chat room can find it. But I've been unable to find what changed to allow him to sign that today. I'm hoping it's just not another big FU to the American people. But knowing who's doing it, I wouldn't put it past him. Merry fucking Christmas, everyone. We're going to have a little fun today. Our old pal, Deborah Newell Tornello, is back. She'll join us in a little bit to poke fun at the state that Donald Trump is once again in today, Florida. But before we get to that, let's take a look at what's happening in the news, shall we?
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Both chambers of Congress on Thursday passed a stopgap spending bill, averting a partial government shutdown at midnight on Friday. The bill extends current federal funding through January 19th and also provides temporary extensions of the Children's Health Insurance Program through March, a Veterans Health Care Program, and the FISA program. The House passed the continuing resolution 231 to 188. 2 hours later, the Senate passed its version 66 to 32.
It funds the government. It keeps it up and running for another month, but it is essentially just a very short-term stopgap measure. In the end, it actually ends up to be a pretty skinny measure for all the debate that went into this. It keeps the government funded only until January 19th. It includes a short-term reauthorization of the FISA program, the government surveillance program that expires at the end of this year, and a short-term extension through March of funding for CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program that had already expired this past October. Now, leading up to this, there had been much debate, a lot of back and forth, even among House Republicans really squabbling on what exactly could be included, what potentially could they get added to the short-term CR. In the end, they didn't get much. This is a really scaled-down proposal, so a lot of that legislation and a lot of those priorities will need to be fought another day.
Although the House passed a separate $81 billion disaster relief bill, the Senate did not take it up, pushing that issue into 2018. DACA, the DREAM Act, was also not addressed in the end-of-the-year bills, despite protests all over Capitol Hill on Thursday. Congress is now in recess and returns to work on January 3rd. A federal judge dismissed a lawsuit alleging that the president violated the Constitution's Emoluments Clause because his hotels and restaurants do business with foreign governments while he's in office. The plaintiffs argued that because Trump properties rent out hotel rooms and meeting spaces to other governments, the president was violating a constitutional provision that bans the acceptance of foreign emoluments or gifts from foreign powers. But the judge from the Southern District of New York ruled that the plaintiffs, led by the government watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, lacked standing to bring such a case, saying it was up to Congress to prevent the president from accepting emoluments.
For all of these nations that take our money and then they vote against us at the Security Council, or they vote against us potentially at the Assembly, they take hundreds of millions of dollars and even billions of dollars and then they vote against us. Well, we're watching those votes. Let them vote against us. We'll save a lot. We don't care.
President Trump yesterday seemed to know what was likely to happen at the United Nations. 128 countries voted to condemn his decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Only 9 member nations, including the U.S., voted the other way. Speaking before the vote, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley said America would not forget when countries asked the U.S. for aid.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit.
Today, former CIA Director John Brennan wrote in what was his second ever tweet, quote, Trump administration threat to retaliate against nations that exercise sovereign right in UN to oppose U.S. position on Jerusalem is beyond outrageous. Shows Donald Trump expects blind loyalty and subservience from everyone, qualities usually found in narcissistic, vengeful autocrats.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said after the vote that he would no longer accept any peace plan proposed by the United States. Senator Al Franken delivered his farewell address to the Senate on Thursday after announcing that he'll officially resign on January 2nd.
But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the American people, just like it's always been. We will always have the democracy we deserve, if not the government we want. It's going to take ordinary Americans deciding to become more informed consumers of political news and opinion and deciding that they're willing to be part of the argument themselves instead of simply tuning out all of the noise. And if they do, I know that we will get this country back on track.
He invoked the late Paul Wellstone.
Paul understood better than anyone I know the meaning and the power of politics. Paul said, quote, "Politics is not about power. Politics is not about money. Politics is not about winning for the sake of winning. Politics is about the improvement of people's lives. Even in the face of everything that is happening today, I still believe in Paul's words. Politics is about the improvement of people's lives. I know those words to be true because I know that the American people still believe in justice and equality and opportunity, and I see evidence of that every day. The American people know that to be true, and they fill me with hope for our future."
Franken's replacement, current Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith, will be sworn in on January 3rd. And that's the last What's News report for 2017. I'm Nicole Sandler, wishing you and your family a very happy holiday season and hope for a more sane new year. I'll be back with new editions of What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show on January 3rd at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. All right, for a bit more of what's happening in the news, we turn to our friends at the Talk Media News Service, TalkMediaNews.com. Luke Vargas is the chief foreign correspondent, and he's housed there at the UN. Hey, Luke.
Hey there. Happy last work day of our journalistic year.
Thank you. I think a week off would do a lot of us some good right about now. I don't know about you, but I take in more than more information than I can handle each day. It just gets overwhelming at times.
It's been a long, difficult year, and I was just polishing off my predictions for next year, and two of them are pretty grim. One of them was sort of things couldn't get any worse type of prediction, and I just started feeling quite exhausted halfway through writing and recording that whole thing. So I am looking forward to it.
What are your predictions?
Well, I had three for next year. The first is that I think the global fake news epidemic is going to hit something of a high watermark, and that is my positive prediction.
Oh,
that
boy.
Basically we've seen so many countries, and some of the worst countries on earth, frankly, you know, really just seizing this golden opportunity to both lash out at their critics and the press and the human rights community, and also embrace this language that President Trump has seemingly legitimized. You know, we saw this, the Syrian president rejected mm-hmm. all these reports of murders at prisons. The Turkish president has justified a huge crackdown on the free press by claiming that President Trump's takedown of reporters was his inspiration. In Myanmar, you know, they basically called it fake news when yep. human rights groups talked about this, you know, genocide in the country. This is a really distressing trend. But again, I think most of the countries and world leaders that have any business trying to curry favor with Trump and that are going to take such a, you know, brazen step as, you know, calling out a fact as being fiction have probably done so already. And that we're sort of starting to see a majority of countries and their free press is pushing back against this, not least today. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a Dutch journalist who laid into Peter Hoekstra, who's the new Dutch ambassador, and criticized him, saying he's a big Trump appointee for that position. And this journalist said, basically, you know, Mr. Ambassador, you have accused there of being these Muslim no-go zones in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. You know, do you still believe that? And this was an interview in the halls of Congress.
Right.
And, he said, oh, no, I've never said anything like that. And then when they played him an interview of him saying that, I mean, he's denied that had ever, it was like fabricated. It was completely baffling.
It's gaslighting.
I'm glad to see the foreign press now starting to hold fake news to account. So that's my positive prediction.
Okay. All right. Well,
and
I
then
hope
the two negative ones are that, you know, this brinksmanship with Iran and North Korea is increasing because I think the Pentagon is getting tired of, they've already fought and beaten the Islamic State. So now it's on to the next thing. And that's a very dangerous sort of deep state military industrial complex trying to look for new avenues. And the other one is I think the NAFTA talks are just going to get shelved because they're about to get delayed so far that they're going to run into these Mexican elections and there's just going to be no appetite in that country to continue with the talks.
Wow.
So I don't know, maybe that's a good thing.
It could be. I don't know that it can get any worse. So Luke,
you can see I am so depressed as well, I'm like, you know, like yelling these topics at you.
You're not alone. You are not alone, my friend. All right. So yesterday, Nikki Haley got up on the floor of the United Nations and basically threatened our allies, like either vote with us or we're going to take your names and we're going to keep track of you. And I saw that today she sent invitations to a party of some sorts to all the countries that either voted no or abstained or didn't show up to vote. Where does this go? This whole thing that happened yesterday. What's the aftermath of that?
Well, I think it is not lost on countries just how far the U.S. went in trying to twist arms here. And that's without much precedent. I mean, the U.S. and Israel have done a lot of lobbying behind the scenes for years to try and make it worth other countries' while to vote with us, or at least to kind of butt out of the process of condemning Israel. But we've never gone so far as to threaten, as President Trump and Nikki Haley did, cutting off foreign aid to countries that voted against us. And given how serious they dialed up the pressure here, I don't think there's any way of really interpreting this as the fact that they got hardly anything in exchange for that. I mean, I looked at the top 30 recipients of U.S. development aid, and only one of them voted with us. And very few of them changed their previous stances on Israel and Palestine because of our threat to cut off aid. And if you go even further and look at some of the countries the U.S. really needs to achieve our objectives around the world, you know, all the countries that have any say in the North Korean crisis, for example, China, Russia, South Korea, Japan, they all voted against us too. And so I don't think there's a belief that the U.S. is really going to actually take this seriously. But what it did do, and we saw this from the Canadians who apparently were on the fence about whether to sort of vote with the United States and at the last minute decided to abstain because they felt that they would be viewed as puppets of the United States if they kind of towed the line here and you know, Turk took this threat from Nikki Haley seriously. So I think this, if anything, has backfired. And this sort of like party, the friendship party, as Nikki Haley is calling it in November, is like not enough to really entice countries to change here. And many of these publics around the world consider, I've gone all over creation and in places far, far, or seemingly, you know, detached from the Palestinian issue, in Indonesia, in Uganda, in, you know, in Central America, the plight of the Palestinians is like a top issue. And so even if, you know, these countries are seemingly willing to put up with kind of going on Trump's bad side in exchange for just not angering their publics on such a core issue, I kind of wasn't surprised to see that.
Right. It was a stunning move. Just the hubris involved for, you know, both Nikki Haley and Donald Trump for them to do this. I don't think Trump gets the ramifications. I don't think he understands the severity of what he's doing.
And I've found it, as someone who maybe has more confidence than most in the United Nations, but I found it just really depressing, the tone that Nikki Haley took about what the U.S., how the U.S. views its contributions to the U.N., saying basically, you know, this is an investment. We want a return. And if you don't vote with us, we're not getting our return. And we might look at putting our money elsewhere. I mean,
horrible.
You should be giving money to the World Food Program because you want to help feed people, not because you hope other countries see that you gave money and then pay you back favors. And of course, it bears repeating here, the U.S. does give the most to the United Nations, but we do not give the most to the U.N. as a share of our GDP. So this notion that like we're the only country that takes seriously what it means to fund these international efforts, I think is quite misleading, to say the least.
Well, that's what this administration excels at, misleading the public. So,
yeah,
you know, the UN Security Council just enacted new sanctions on North Korea. What these are additional sanctions. What's up with this?
On paper, they're pretty tough. And I actually think there's some good signs in here. If you're really afraid about war with North Korea, there are mm-hmm. some good signs here that the U.S. is thinking about kind of a long runway, if you will, of further diplomacy before we say that that process is over. And that's like a pretty narrow silver lining, because any prospect, even if it's 5 or 20%, as some have suggested, about possible war with North Korea is still far too high. But, you know, there repeatedly this U.S. drafted resolution talks about how, you know, if there are if and when there are further nuclear or missile tests, that X will happen, then Y will happen, then Z will happen. So that to me is good, that we're not sort of saying this is the last move and then we're going to have to start dropping bombs. But that said, if you're trying to find any sign here that these sanctions are going to work in ways that previous sanctions have not, I don't really see it. In fact, we're leaning even more heavily now on China and Russia, more so than ever, to actually make these sanctions work. You know, there are two things. I mean, one is we're calling for, I think, a 75% cut in oil imports that North Korea is allowed to accept.
That's
well,
good.
We've actually seen in recent months that despite sanctions, that China and Russia may be sending more oil into that country. So we're already being defied on that front. I'm not sure we can count on that to change on a dime. And further, and this actually would, you know, pack a punch if it happens, but we're ordering that these 100,000 North Koreans who work outside of the country, sort of laborers in various countries around the world, get sent back home within the next 2 years. And 80% of those are in either Russia or China. So once again, like, it's nice if Thailand sends back like 10 people or Botswana sends back, you know, half a dozen, but you're really counting overwhelmingly on China and Russia to pull their weight here. And so in that regard, our strategy may just be as doomed as it was in the past. And beyond that, these are sanctions which shut down basically the entire North Korean export economy, which is going to hurt at some point the North Korean people, who are the real victims of a lot of this. So again, kind of tough. The unity here was impressive a day after the U.S. sort of put a bomb at the U.N., if you will. But again, I don't think we've changed the playing field. It's still kind of tipped against us.
Yeah. And well, it's nice that Trump hasn't been talking about the little rocket man in the last week or two.
Well, give it, you know, he's resting.
Yeah.
Just like we're resting for the new year. And you can bet that just as we're going to come back with slightly more energy, he's going to come back with a whole bunch of new phrases and demeaning nicknames that he's been working on over the holidays, I'm sure.
It's unbelievable. What else is going on, Luke?
Well, finally, this is kind of shifting us back to U.S. news, but I've been noticing that all of these major companies today have been giving out special Christmas bonuses to all their employees.
Mm-hmm.
And the president has eagerly been talking about how this is all a result of his tax cuts. So AT&T, PNC, Sinclair Broadcasting, which wants to take over the conservative airwaves, Bank of America, Boeing, something like 15 multinational, multi-billion dollar corporations have made these announcements today. And I think people could probably smell something fishy here. I'm not like finding a nuance here that others haven't detected, but
mm-hmm.
it's worth pointing out. A lot of these companies have been announcing these bonuses alongside promises to increase their minimum wages next year.
Right.
It bears repeating, 18 different states will have a higher minimum wage beginning on January 1st anyways.
Right.
And in the vast majority of these cases, these wage increases had already, they were going to be mandatory before the tax cut. So this is what seems like a pretty clear attempt for them to try and curry favor with the president and line up these announcements so as if it seems they were only going to occur because of the tax cut. It's also worth pointing out several of the countries that were companies that were exceedingly vocal today in praising the tax cut as being the only reason they could do these bonuses included several companies that are under intense regulatory scrutiny right now, including Wells Fargo, who is being, you know, taken to the cleaners or ought to be for a lot of their banking behavior. They were the ones who actually had announced these bonuses before the tax cut
mm-hmm.
and put out a statement saying it had nothing to do with the tax cut. And then as soon as the tax cut passed, put out a new statement through their PR department and said, this is because of the tax cut.
Right.
So I think that
like the AT&T one that came through union negotiations that had nothing to do with the tax cut. Of course, now that the tax cut is the law, they're crediting that for the reason for these $1,000 bonuses.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty obvious move. I mean, you can really only justify a tax cut like this if you believe in trickle-down economics and if you are trying to demonstrate to the American public to try and, you know, try and prove to them that this is actually a bona fide theory. One way you could try to or attempt to convince them of that is by saying, look, you know, you guys got $1,000. Isn't that great? That's proof that this kind of trickle down works. Whereas, I mean, we all know all of these companies are also planning, or vast majority of them, and many more actually, are planning major multi-billion-dollar stock buybacks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, it is going to take the shares that the ownership of these companies holds on to and increase them in value so many more orders of magnitude beyond, you know, $1,000 pay increase for someone who's not already making very much more. And it's just going to widen the inequality gap and the pay gap between executives and regular workers even more. So again, it's like a tiny little bone that appears to be being thrown to people in the hopes that it will convince them that this sort of tax policy works in their favor.
Yeah. And there's more of that kind of stuff coming, because that's, again, what this administration excels at, just misleading the public on how things really work. Anyway, Luke Vargas of the Talk Media News Service at talkmedianews.com. As always, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year. And
same to you, Nicole. Thanks so much.
We'll talk in 2018.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. All right. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have a little bit of fun with Deborah Newell Tornello. It's been a while since we poked fun at the state of Florida, but since Trump is back here, why not? So we'll take a break and come back with Deborah next. In the meantime, if you're still not done with your holiday shopping, some people do it after the holidays because the prices go down. If you shop at Amazon, I hope you'll use the Amazon, NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, please.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Boy, Florida, the dead beats paradise, only good for a quick visit or to die. Rotting mangrove swamps, inhale all you want and pass out from just one whiff. Old and cranky Jews, angry Cubans who welcome you with the shaking fist. So hot you stink and smell. I'm off to the great white north to laugh as I watch you die. To Canada, where the air is cool and the soda is dry.
All right. That's Florida's official, unofficial theme song. Welcome back. I'm Nicole Sandler here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. And back joining us is an old friend of the show, Deborah Newell Tornello, who for a long time used to join me every week to poke a bit of fun at the state we both live in, Florida. Hey, Deborah.
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
About the same, thanks. Just looking forward to getting my foot operated on in January. That's my Christmas present, is getting my foot They're doing some bone surgery on it, so I'll be able to walk without a limp again. So,
yay. Well, that's good. Well, and at least we still have, I don't know if your insurance is through the Affordable Care Act, but at least we still have that. Despite the president telling us it's dead, it's still very much alive. I did sign up for another plan. Unfortunately, not the plan that I have this year because that doubled in price and I just can't afford it. But I still have insurance, and that's the important thing.
Absolutely. No, a lot of people signed up. In fact, I think they had a record enrollment despite all protestations to the contrary by Trump. So
right, and despite them cutting the enrollment period in half,
and the advertising and everything else, they completely put a damper on it. But there was, I will say this: I got tons and tons of texts and emails and social media alerts. So they did what they could. And I think they got the message out. And I think people are really engaged this year. You know, when we see what can happen when you close your eyes for a five-second period or blink, you know, you end up with absolute disaster in Washington. So next year is going to be wonderful. I am very much looking forward to those midterms. I am sure you are too.
Yes, but that's still 11 months off. We got to get there. Actually, you know, I need to correct that because we're going to have primaries throughout the year. And I think the primaries begin somewhere around March. And those are actually more important even than the actual than November, because we have a Democratic Party who insists on foisting very conservative candidates our way. And the only way to ensure we get really good progressive candidates is to be involved early and vote in the primaries.
That's absolutely right. Get the vote out now. I mean, look what happened in Alabama. Obviously, that was a very uphill push to even get a Democrat. You know, we had to be running against a pedophile in order to get a Democrat into that seat. And now he's saying, oh, I might sometimes, you know, talking about Doug Jones now, mm-hmm. You know, I might be voting with the Republicans sometimes. And I'm going, no. But we'll see.
But this is Alabama, and you got to realize, the fact that there's somebody with a D next to his name, we're not going to get a Bernie Sanders kind of Democrat in Alabama. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
Is, you know,
but are going to get people like, just to bring up one example of how the Democrats are not all extremely left-wing. In fact, a lot of them are just about on the Republican side. I mean, in England, they would be called Tories. Like Chuck Schumer in 2016, mm-hmm. when he was all confident about winning the White House that November, he was talking about the big tax cut, the big corporate tax cut that he and the Democrats were going to be working on as soon as the election was over. Well, look what happened. And now it's suddenly everybody's all upset and saying that, you know, it's just about Trump. Well, yes, Trump and the Republicans are horrible. You don't have to say that 15 times to convince anybody. But it's not as though there aren't a ton of Democrats who are all about so-called quote-unquote entitlement reform, cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, and giving tax cuts to the corporate world in this country. So be on your toes. We need to get all the very lefties out there and just show them what's what in the primaries. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think the Democrats need to run a concerted campaign primaries matter. Like, primaries are so important, although, they'd rather just put in their candidates. For example, and we'll get to Florida in a couple of minutes. I know that in Arizona, you know, where Jeff Flake is retiring, they've got a crazy running on the right, Kelly Ward, who is, you know, basically Arizona's Roy Moore. I know she's not a child molester, but she's their Sharon Engel.
That's become like our baseline now. He's not a child molester,
right? But close enough. She's their Sharon Engel. And the Democrats' chosen candidate to go up against her is Kyrsten Sinema, who is one of the worst Democrats in the House of Representatives. I mean, she, for example, she's one of the ones in the House who voted for this continuing resolution. She voted not to stand up for the Dreamers or for the CHIP kids or for anything else. That's who Chuck Schumer is pushing to be the Democratic nominee to run for the Senate seat that's open in Nevada, in Arizona.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
We are fighting two flanks here.
We really are. That's why primaries are so important. That's why you don't wait. And we got to stop talking about November. We need to talk about the entire year, 2018, as the midterm year, and remind people that either register now, or if you think you're already registered, double check and make sure that your registration is intact and that you're eligible to vote in the primaries.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is, if you don't join the Democratic Party, there's two ways of looking at it. You can just say, to hell with it, I'm going to be an independent. But then in our state, you don't get to vote in the primaries. So if you are interested in helping move the Democrats to the left, join the bloody party.
That's
and
right.
Vote in the bloody primaries. It's the only way. And
right.
Turn out. And take someone with you and start nagging them now to get registered. So, because in different counties, I think in ours, you need at least a month before you can vote, to get registered
right.
or to get switched over. So go do it now. Do it right after the holidays. Go do it. Make that your New Year's thing.
That's a great idea. All right.
Yeah.
Deborah, do you want to talk about some Florida stories?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've got a bunch. I have to say, though, Nicole, and I'm sure when you were doing research for these, that weren't there some sad and awful stories this last couple of weeks? I mean, just...
There really were. You know,
I can't talk about the ones where animals are hurt or killed or, or people are just harmed and wives are beaten. Like, what is going
There's
on?
There's a lot
in
of that.
State?
It's really sad. There was one just yesterday in a town, a couple of towns over from me in Pembroke Pines, where somebody shot a BB gun at two dogs and one of them didn't make it. I mean, it's horrific. People
That's
are, and I think
really
we're in a bad place as a nation right now. I think the ugliness emanating from the White House has infected a lot of the people. I think there's just this pall over the country. But
I agree. And Florida is sort of like the appendix, hang down and all the toxicity and nastiness collects in Florida. It sort of just all drips down into us.
Ew.
And here,
an infection. Yeah,
exactly. We're just a festering pus sack of a state. But anyhow, onward.
Okay, so here's a story out of Lady Lake. I'm not quite sure where that is, but there was a robbery of a Dollar General store. If you're going to rob a store, are you going to rob a dollar store?
Really?
Yeah.
It's the same penalty whether you rob a dollar store or Tiffany's, but
right.
Okay.
So there were three guys who were arrested in this incident at this Dollar General store in Lady Lake. Well, this one guy reportedly used his toddler daughter as a human shield when police closed in on him. Robert Anthony Morgan was arrested Tuesday on warrants charging him with possession of a weapon by a convicted felon and child neglect. He had been with these two other men in a van. This robbery happened December 7th. Law enforcement was initially alerted to reports of machine guns. When they arrived on the scene, Morgan, this guy, began walking away with the toddler. So not only did he join two other guys to rob a dollar store, but he had his toddler child with him. And when the officers closed in on him, he held up the child. He would extend the child while in his grasp outwards toward the officers to refuse them close contact.
Oh, what a guy. Ugh.
Yeah, he was released from the Lake County Jail after posting $12,000 bond.
That's atrocious.
Isn't it?
Ugh. Well, I have one that's the guy got in trouble, but at least he didn't use the child as a human shield.
Okay.
This one is out of the Orlando area. A man who allegedly stole a swan boat and marooned himself on a fountain in the middle of a lake told police that he had taken a large quantity of MDMA, that's ecstasy, for those who aren't quite up on all the terminology, and he just wanted to be with the swans that frequent the lake. According to an Orlando police report obtained by Orlando Weekly, 36-year-old Kyle Thurston said he wanted to be with the swans because, quote, they don't judge him, end quote. I'm right there with you, Kyle. Oh, boy. Go hang with the swans, but, don't steal a boat. At about 4 a.m. Friday, Orlando police came to Lake Eola and found Thurston sitting on the fountain screaming for help. He said, police said, Thurston forgot to tie up the swan boat and it somehow drifted off while he was on the fountain. And when he returned to where he thought the boat would be and then realized it was gone, he just sat on the fountain and started calling for help. They're following up with the rental boat company to see if any charges will be filed.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I wouldn't recommend stealing property, but I can certainly relate to wanting to go and float off with the swans and be with people that don't judge you or animals that don't judge you. I think the end of this year, I think a lot of us can relate to that feeling. Just don't steal property in the process.
No, don't. But no. But if you want to get drunk, here's another animal story. An opossum that apparently drank bourbon after breaking into a Florida liquor store sobered up at a wildlife rescue center and was released unharmed. This is in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Emerald Coast Wildlife.
Yet.
I'm sorry?
It's not even spring break yet.
I know. Do you believe it? the Emerald Coast Wildlife Refuge officials say the opossum was brought in by a Fort Walton Beach, Florida police officer. A liquor store employee found the animal next to a broken and empty bottle of bourbon. A technician at the wildlife refuge said a worker there found the opossum up on a shelf next to a cracked open bottle of liquor with nothing in it. She definitely wasn't fully acting normal. So the technician told the newspaper that it was a female opossum. She appeared disoriented, was excessively salivating, and was pale. So the staff pumped her up full of fluids and cared for her and got her all sobered up. They said, we loaded her up with fluids to help flush out any alcohol toxins. She was good a couple of days later. And they said that the possum did not appear to have a hangover, which is good to know. The store owner says he never had an opossum break-in before, but she came in from the outside, was up in the rafters, and when she came through, she knocked a bottle of liquor off the shelf. When she got down on the floor, she drank the whole damn bottle.
Was it the top shelf? I'm just curious. Was it good bourbon?
Don't know, but it's bourbon, and an opossum can survive a bottle of bourbon and then go back to her previous life.
She must have been from the University of Florida. She could survive that much.
I guess. She wasn't hazed.
Oh, poor little thing.
But she's okay, and she's released into the wild again.
Good. Well, that's a good story. Mm-hmm. On another good note, and there's probably been some bourbon consuming going on after this broke, Mr. Jack Latvala, senator, has resigned less than a day after a special master recommended a criminal probe into allegations that the Clearwater Republican had promised legislative favors for sex. Now, I have to break in for a moment here and just add that he went down yelling that this was all because of political correctness, because, oh, wow, all these young kids today, they get upset if you tell them they look pretty or they look hot. That's kind of different than promising legislative favors for sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a slight gray area there, and he's on one side of it and that's on the other. But anyhow, his resignation came after increasing pressure, including from the governor, for the veteran lawmaker to step down following the release of a report that found probable cause to support allegations that the senator had repeatedly groped a Senate aide and engaged in a pattern of making unwelcome remarks about women's bodies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Oh, but that's just political correctness.
Right.
Gone run amok.
Sure.
Nicole, this is, you know, wow. I hate that. You know, just be honest. Okay, I screwed up and I'm a scumbag and I'm stepping down. But no, they still have to lie. They just can't help themselves. Anyhow. So the FDLE is handling a preliminary inquiry into allegations of possible public corruption. Throughout more than a month of investigations into Latvala's alleged sexual harassment and continuing on the heels of Tuesday's damaging special master's report, the senator steadfastly maintained his innocence. As late as Tuesday night, he posted on his Facebook page that he would return to Tallahassee after Christmas to meet with his legal team and decide his future. But by Wednesday afternoon, the 66-year-old who made a fortune in the direct mail business and announced in August that he would run for governor in 2018, sent a letter to the Senate president announcing that he would quit the Senate on January 5th, 4 days before the annual legislative session begins. I've never intentionally dishonored my family, my constituents, or the Florida Senate. Okay, so I suppose somebody grabbed your hand and forced it onto those women in the
right.
elevator.
Sure.
And they You know, really.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it? And he was going to run for governor. What absolute cojones.
Meanwhile, did you hear Donald Trump endorsed one of the Republicans who are running in the primary for governor? He just doesn't understand how these things work. He endorsed someone via a tweet after watching on Air Force One on his way back down here to Florida this afternoon, a segment on Fox about this guy. I don't even know his name.
Yeah, I've heard of him before. Of course, I try to ignore as much Republican Floridian news as I can because it's just too depressing sometimes. But wow.
Yeah.
And he not understand how things, like you say, how things work. I mean, he doesn't understand how taxes work.
No,
he thinks that the working class and middle class are going to get like this huge break thanks to the bill he just signed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know that he believes it. I really don't. I think everything out of his mouth is a lie anyway. So
that's true.
You know, speaking of Trump and Florida, there are a lot of suckers in the Palm Beach area. Last year, people paid members of his Mar-a-Lago club paid $525 for tickets to his big New Year's Eve bash, and their guests it cost $575 a ticket. This year, he's raised his prices up to $600 for dues-paying members and $750 for their guests. This is to party with the president and whatever quasi-celebrities are there. Last year, it was Sylvester Stallone and Fabio were there.
This year it will be, who's the guy that plays Cat Scratch Fever?
Oh, Ted Nugent.
Yes.
Ugh. Ugh. So
you know, I would pay $600 not to see him, actually. ever
no
again.
Kidding. Right? Ay, ay, ay. So that's what's happening. That's what the Trumps are doing for New Year's.
Over on Gold Coast. I know that's right. He's coming close to you.
He's already here. They landed about an hour ago.
Gag, barf.
Yeah, by the way, along those lines, Trump has spent $94 million in taxpayer money this year on his little golfing outings.
No bullshit.
$94 million. He's been to Mar-a-Lago 40 times so far, or 34 times so far since he's been president.
Unbelievable.
You got another one?
Oh, I've got lots, yeah. Here's one. Florida GOP official says that black people were lucky to be enslaved. Obviously, I know, Florida, it just gets duh-ier. Obviously, empowered by President Donald Trump's seat in the White House, 2017 has been a year of racists going ham and expecting to get away with it. Boynton Beach volunteer board member Cindy Falco DiCorrado recently took some cheap and offensive shots at minorities. Of course, in typical racist fashion, she demanded that Hispanic citizens need to speak better English. And to black residents, she said, quote, "You're lucky that we brought you over here as slaves, or else you'd be deported too."
Oh, my God.
What do you even say to that?
Oh,
that's
my
just
God.
Staggering. According to the Truth Examiner, members of the community were understandably outraged over her bigoted remarks, and they labeled her a white supremacist, and she reacted by resigning over the weekend. In her letter, she claimed there was, quote, a lynch mob after her, end quote. Great choice of words. And then she writes, "I also heard that the city of Boynton Beach is being attacked through my stance on sanctuary cities and things that I said that were taken out of context." All right, let me break for a moment. How do you take that out of context? When you say that black people should be happy that we brought them over here, under what context, in what context is that acceptable? Really?
Can't figure that one out.
I'm twisting my brain around like a Rubik's Cube, trying to figure out the one possible way saying that would be all right. And there isn't one. But
well, it's like Roy Moore, who said, what did he say? That things were better under slavery because families were intact.
Something. They were chained together and beaten.
Right.
I guess that's intact. Unbelievable.
When, you know, children were sold out from under their parents.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, yes.
And wives were pulled away from husbands so they could be raped.
Of course. Right. Things were so much better then.
She continues, "I ask if anyone was hurt, if anyone," oh, another Republican apology. I love these. "If anyone was hurt by the things that I said that could have been misconstrued, or taken out of context due to misunderstandings to forgive me. So under all those conditions, then she asks for your forgiveness. For the record, I'm not a racist nor a white supremacist. I had to look that up to see what it meant. But
oh my God.
I forgive them too. Oh, beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, I have one that's just a stupid Florida, but this is a great example of a Florida story. I don't know where the town of Davenport, Florida is, but it's a small Florida town. The mayor of Davenport, Florida, was arrested for using dead people's disabled parking permits to park at City Hall.
Oh, no.
I guess it's near Bradenton, because the Bradenton Herald is reporting that Teresa Bradley resigned and was given 6 months of probation as part of a plea deal with prosecutors. She pleaded no contest to unlawful use of a handicap placard. The Polk County Sheriff's Office says the 60-year-old former mayor was not registered to use a disabled placard, but was parking in the designated spots at Davenport City Hall. She was found to have not one, but two of them, both of which belonged to people who had died.
That is so low. How embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just typical Florida. Teresa Bradley, shame on you. Oh, my God.
That's atrocious. I mean, I get it. Holiday shopping, parking is stressful. But, you know, to use dead people's parking permits.
And you're the mayor of the town.
And you're the mayor? I mean, you're supposed to set an example. Oh,
yes,
that's
you are.
Dreadful. Well, I have a sort of funny one.
Okay.
It's typical, duh. Florida couple accuses neighbors of stealing $26,000 in retirement gold that they had hidden in a litter box. I know. You can't make this up.
No.
You really can't. I know it sounds like a lot of these were just, Nicole and I are just pulling out of thin air, but no, these are actually real stories.
Only in Florida.
Florida, Panama City, with Hurricane Irma approaching in September, Cynthia Copley and her 69-year husband, frantically made plans to evacuate, but they needed help moving the $26,000 in gold bars that they bought for their retirement. How much do you want to bet they watch Fox News?
I'm guessing.
You know, buy gold bars. And they probably have like a whole bunch of prepper seeds and, mm-hmm. you know, buried little like sort of a nuclear hideaway thing under the ground where they can go and wait out the next Democratic presidency or whatever. Okay. So they asked their neighbor to help them move the bars, which were hidden in a cat litter box, onto a boat for their property. Onto a boat that was on their property for safekeeping. The storm didn't hit Panama City, where the couple lives in Florida's panhandle, and they thought it was all fine until they discovered that the gold was missing about a week later. Okay, so just tell everybody, I've got all these big gold bars hidden in a litter box. Can you help me move them, please? And then not check on them?
Oh, my God. Well, it sounds like they're old. If they've been married for 69 years, I feel really sorry for them.
Well, she's 70.
Oh.
And it's a 69-year husband. Does that mean 69
years old? He must be 69 years old.
If 69, if, yeah, yeah. It was a typo on the part of the right. Time magazine. Thank you, Time. You're now on alert that your copy editors are falling down on the job. Anyhow, they called their neighbor who helped them move. So they called the Bay County Sheriff's Office on September 15th. 3 months later, Lofton is back in Bay County and facing grand theft charges. He was arrested this week in Jacksonville on DUI and violation of probation charges. But why did the Copleys stash 15 to 20 gold bars in a cat litter box? Well, we were frantic. We were worried about the storm, and we didn't think about being taken advantage of.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Solid gold it's valuable.
Yes.
Hide it somewhere other than your cat litter box.
Yes. That would be smart. Maybe like a safe deposit box would be a better place for it, just saying.
And you know what? I think it's waterproof too. So even if there's a flood, it's not going to float. It's gold. It's a bar. It's heavy.
Yes. There's
and
that.
And it's not going to float and it's not going to disintegrate because, it's gold.
Right.
But Florida.
Deborah Newell Tornello, we are just out of time. And this is the final show of the year. So thank you for being here. We have to do this more often. It had been too long. And it's
anytime.
Nice to take a break from the insanity of our national political situation and focus on the stupidity down here in Florida.
Where you have a wonderful holiday, Nicole, and everybody out there in Radio Not Land.
Thank you so much, and you too, and have a happy new year, and we'll talk again soon.
I hope so.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Find Deborah on Twitter at Litbrit. Litbrit. And with that, we are done for the day and for the year. As I said, I'll be out next week. We'll run Best Ofs on the Progressive Voices Network from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And I'll be back on Tuesday, January 2nd. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with my my insanity. And thank you for those who have donated to our cause. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Have a great holiday and a very happy new year.